That's a table full of trouble. Oh, we better get going. How you set? The line's backed up in there, but let's go because it's time's a-wasting. And this is a real tough piece. Psalm 22, it says 25 to 31, but that's the English verses. It's 26 to 32 in Hebrew. It's the last section of Psalm 22. And if you struggle through verse 25, good for you. But the text really starts with verse 26 in Hebrew. Does say something like, because he will not despise and he will not, a similar word, detest the affliction of the afflicted one, ani, the poor afflicted, and he will not hide his face from him, and with his cry for help, a shawa is a cry for help to him, he is hearing, something like that. But with 26, we sort of switch to the last section of the psalm. Now, as you know, this is a very famous psalm of lament that is appropriated, and I mean that in the sense of it also being most appropriate, by Jesus on the cross. And in a sense, links Good Friday to the Easter season here, much as almost all psalms of lament link a personal cry for help with some praise at the end on the assumption that the help either has been given or is as good as having been given. Form critically, there's a lot of discussion on these issues, and that's one of the main ones, is why these psalms sort of take not a left turn, but kind of a right turn, half to two-thirds of the way through, and suddenly what has been nothing but a bitter pouring out of complaint, you know, God, everything's against me, the world's against me, it seems you're against me, and then suddenly he says, I will speak the praises of Yahweh because he has redeemed my life from the pit, or something like that, and you're kind of going, gee, you know, 2 seconds ago, the world was coming to an end. So much so that in some point in critical scholarship, it was even proposed that this was kind of a confession absolution moment, and at the point of that switch in the text, the priest sort of said, it's going to be all right, and the guy left happy and sort of changed his tune because he had sort of received the divine assurance at the hand of the priest. That's not all far-fetched in some ways. It certainly is appropriate, even to our liturgical practice of confession absolution. Unfortunately, there's absolutely no evidence for this, but that never stopped a lot of the scholars in proposing this, sort of like the covenant renewal ceremony, which never seems to have existed. But in any case, you have this striking shift in a lot of these psalms, and this is a good example. Suddenly in verse 26, but it's really kind of predicated on 25, that God will not despise these people. Even though I am despised and rejected of men, God does not give up on those who are in need and in trouble. And of course, the whole business of this psalm speaking to the crucifixion of our Lord himself sees in that action the ultimate deliverance from anyone who is in the throes of sin and death. But let's translate. It's enough just to translate this. One, psalms are tough anyway. Two, this one's real tough. Three, we got text critical problems. So we got sort of three strikes against us before we even step up to the plate. 26, may itaka, from with you, literally, from with you, tihilathi is my tihilah. This is the word for praise. The noun is from the verb halal, is my praise, bikahal rav, in the kahal of rav, in the assembly of many, all right, the multitude. Nidarai, my netters, a netter is a vow. My vows, eshalem, I will shalom in the piel. Remember, this is shalom, means to complete. In the PL, it sort of means to complete transitively. I will fulfill, usually as the word for fulfilling a vow. I will make whole, if you will. You know, it's interesting listening to Pastor Duncan and his convocation, the reminder that Islam, that's the same word as shalom. That's the salam, and the is the yod prefix of an imperfect verb form. So shalom or yislam really means he will surrender or find peace, or however, I don't know what conjugation that might be in Arabic or how they derive the etymology of that. But it's essentially the same root as salam. It seems like a good bridge to a biblical understanding of shalom. How you can use the same word and mean something quite different. In any case, that's got nothing to do with this text. My vows I will fulfill, opposite his fearing ones. Yare is the participle, one who fears him. His fearing ones. The antecedent of his is probably Yahweh here, though it's interesting at the beginning of the verse, Yahweh's in the second person. From with you is my praise in the assembly of the multitude. My vows I will complete in the presence of those who fear him, his fearers. That's not unusual. I think the second and third persons sort of slip back and forth, but I'm sure you'll find English translations that smooth this out. 27. Yokalu, that you can actually parse, akal. They will eat. Who will eat? The unawim. This is either the poor or the afflicted, and those tend to overlap. Probably this is a little bit more afflicted, the beaten up guys, not who are usually poor. Whether that's cause or effect is somewhat unclear. The afflicted ones will eat and will be. Interesting, a pure future here, that's not while consecutive, and will be shava. Shava means to be satisfied, full up, stuffed, usually in the sense of eating more than you had planned to or would ordinarily be able to. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Yehalalu, they will halal Yahweh. They will praise Yahweh. The subject is the do rishal, his darashing ones. Participle doresh, darash is to seek, even worship, to seek the face of Yahweh means to come into his temple and find him there, worship him. Those who seek him will praise Yahweh. 27b, yechi, you want to parse yechi, you should be able to do this. This is the jussive of the third hey root chaya, to live. So let be alive, let live. May your lavav live. May your heart live la'av, to perpetuity. This is one of those olam la'av, forever. Keep on living. May your heart live forever. Now, your heart here is probably, I don't know what to do with this, all right? Is this how the assemblies, the seeking ones, praise Yahweh? Do they say, quote, may your heart live forever to the guy who's been lamenting and complaining and seeking Yahweh's help? Or is this simply kind of interjection by the guy himself, may your heart live forever. These verses, when we get down to the bottom, you have to look at different English translations because you have to make text critical choices. But I noticed this one, a lot of the translations make this plural, your hearts, the you is plural. So this could be the collective heart, if you will, of the many, of the assembling. And in that sense is sort of expanding the praise section from the individual who now feels confident in the salvation and deliverance of Yahweh to the whole assembly. And I think there's something interpretively helpful in all of this, especially if you're going to actually preach on the psalm, that you see what we do individually in a sense gets swallowed up by what we do corporately as the whole people of God, that our faith and our worship is not individualistic, but it's corporate. It's the whole people of God. And you could probably do something about the Kahal Rav, that it's the assembly of many, you see. We're all in this together, and we share each other's burdens, and we also rejoice with each other's joy, and it all sort of gets collapsed into the one great big joy of the resurrection itself. 28, Yizkeru v'yashuvu el Yahweh. Here comes the subject at the end of the line, kol apse aretz. All of the ephes is the word for end or extreme part. This is almost a standard idiom for the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth, now you got to go back to the verb at the beginning, will zakar, will remember, and will turn or return el Yahweh. All right? Now we've even moved the circle of influence from the individual to the ecclesiastical community to everybody. See, we've even got those who don't necessarily participate in corporate worship, but they too ought to catch on and remember where they came from. 28b, they will, remember this form, yishtachwu. This is that hishtafail form of the verb chawa, which is the unique in its form, but common in its occurrence for worship, to bow down, to do the worshipful calisthenics. They will bow down, lifneika, before you. Who will? All the mishpachoth, Goyim, all of the families, a mishpacha is really a family, clan, all of the families of the Goyim, of the Gentiles. Wow. Genesis 12 certainly comes to mind, where mishpachoth, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That mishpachoth is kind of interesting. 29. For to Yahweh is the milukah. This is almost a stock expression, almost a liturgical statement, I suppose, a liturgical refrain of some kind. Because to Yahweh is the milukah. This is from the verb malak, which means to reign. Melech is a king. You could translate kingdom, but I think it's better to translate this more power or dominion or reign or rule. Not kingdom, but it's all wrapped up with the kingdom of God motif, which of course plays out rather prominently in the New Testament. Somebody restrained Professor Gibbs. Yeah, immediately launched into an excursus on kingdom of God eschatology. For to Yahweh is the dominion and Moshel, and he is the mashaling guy, participle, and he will rule, mashal, Ba Goyim, Ba in or here probably over the Goyim. All right? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. 30. Now it gets rough, guys. 30. You got two footnotes and you're only into the second word. And you'll notice by the end of the verse we're on footnote G. All right? So just previewing that much, you know you're in trouble. Look, here's what it says. Akalu, they will eat, and yishtachwu, they will worship. Who will? Here's the verb, subject. Call dishnei aretz. All of the fat guys. Deshen means to be fat. All the fat guys of the earth will eat and worship. Now, I'd just like to read to you the RSV, the new RSV translation of this. Here's the same verse in RSV. Well, first let me read NIV or NASB come out with this. They have, all the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship, taking fat guys as prosperous, okay? And frankly, that's pretty good. Here's the new RSV, same line. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. There seems to be a different text here. Now, the footnotes direct you to this. The RSV, new RSV, always willing to read the footnotes before they'll take the text. And you see what happened here in verse 30. If you look down at footnote A, with no textual evidence whatsoever, they're suggesting that you should read this akalu as the words ach or ache, which means how, indeed, truly. It's sort of an interjection. And read the lu is low. So that's how you get truly to him all the, and now you got to read instead of dishan, fat ones, the verb yashan, which means to fall asleep. And that's footnote C on Dishne that simply has PRP, which means propositum, or it is proposed, that you should read Yishne, the sleeping ones of the earth. The only reason for that is that that's a parallel to the next line, which talks about the ones going down in the dust, i.e. those who are dying. And dying and sleeping in the earth are the same concept, all right? So obviously we need to fix the text to make better parallelism. Well, we don't have time here to sort through all of this. I cite this only example of a kind of difficult text where it's clear that one English translation that you may well find on the lectern, in fact, has taken a completely different approach to this verse. and be wary of that. I mean, just in terms of, I've done this as a guest preacher, by the way, you know, and you make one text critical, translational, exegetical, interpretive, and homiletical decision and go with that, and then the guy, your assistant, reads the text from the lectern, and it ain't what you thought it was going to be. It's a different text. And either you have to stop and explain this, or just hope people didn't, most people don't listen that well anyway, or just go on, right? Oh, yeah, and you do it yourself. You get to the lectern having not looked ahead of time, and they've done something different to you. Well, this only gets worse in the next line. Well, let's finish. So 30 reads, all the fat guys of the earth will eat and will worship. Before you all, they will crouch. Kara means to crouch or bow down. Who? All the yoradei, all the going down ones of the dust. Those who are going down in the dust. Now look at the next line. V'nafsho lo chia. And his nefesh, not, he will revive. Chaya, we just had that, means to live, but in the pl it means to revive. Nice sense of the pl there. And his nefesh, he will not revive. Now, what does that mean? Let me read NASB. All those who go down to the dust will bow before him, even he who cannot keep his soul alive. Even the guy who will not revive his own soul is going to worship God even while he's dying. I think that's right, frankly. Here's New RSV. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. And you see what they've done? They followed the footnotes. Nafsho is changed to nafshi. Lo is read lo, not, but to him. That makes a big difference. Lo to him. My nefesh to him will live, or something like that. Just the opposite meaning. The point is the guy living or dying? It seems to me the point is the guy's dying. Which is what's going to happen. Now, what happens here? 31. Zera Ya'avdenu, seed, posterity, will avad him, will serve or worship him. Serve him, worship him, who's the him? Yahweh? Here's what I think the point is, just to cut to the bottom line, all right? First of all, it's the afflicted who have become the fat ones. Remember, the afflicted were those who ate and were satisfied a few verses or earlier. Now, they're the ones in the beginning who continue to eat and worship him. So we have this reversal theme. On the other hand, there are those who are going to go down to the pit into the dust and die and can't save themselves. The point is, sooner or later, we all die anyway. So there is sort of earthly restoration, but sooner or later we all die. And it's kind of a big so what. Now who's going to praise the Lord once you're dead? Answer, Zerah. The people of God keep going. Yeah? And to some degree, we keep going. What's that great Chesterton quote? The church is the only organization where you don't lose the franchise just because you've died. You still are part of the community, even after you're dead. In Chicago, I guess, you go on voting even after you're dead. Vote early, vote often, even if you're dead. Last line, Yitzupar, goosebump time, pu'al, imperfect. It will be recounted. It will be recounted concerning Adonai to the door. Door is like the next generation. Concerning the Adonai, it will be recounted to the next generation. They will come, and they will, Nagath, declare his tzedakah, his righteousness, to an Am Nolaz, to a people, Nifal participle, root Yalad, born. If this is the sort of imminent future participle, then it's to a people about to be born, i.e. the next generation. What will they declare? His righteousness, ki asa, what he has done. They will declare his righteousness to the people yet unborn. They will declare what he has done, that which he has done. We got to quit. Golly, it's 10 after. We start a little late. Jeff, you got to go. A tough text, just on the basis of translation, and again, one where you need to keep the English translations in line.